All the, is this on, Jeff?
There we go. Okay.
Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how unscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's our prayer, that anything and everything that happens here this morning is to his glory. The songs that we're singing and the applause that we give and the words that are spoken. We don't want you to see us. We don't want you to hear us. We want you to visit with God, with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's him. It's Jesus that we want you to meet with this morning. So we're glad you're here. If you've been here for the last 59 Sundays in a row, great. We're glad you're here. If this is the first time you've walked in the door, that's great. And we're glad you're here. And we want you to know you're welcome and come and meet with us as we meet with God and meet with Jesus Christ, his Savior, our only hope, our joy, our peace, our comfort. Yeah. So may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified here this morning. If you're here and you don't have a Bible, we can get you one like that fast. Like right now, for instance, is there somebody here that would like a Bible? The price is right. They're free this morning. And we got boxes of them, right? We got boxes of them, so it's not like that's the only one we've got. If you would like a Bible, just let us know. Let me know. Next Sunday, Arlene and Kathy are putting together a church picnic. It's right after church, right? Is it next Sunday? Rotary Park. Just bring you want to come and join us? There's going to be some fun games for the kids and stuff. Dogs and whatnot are supplied. If you can bring a dessert or a salad, that'd be great. Come and do that. Dog? Yeah. Yeah, come and get a dog. Dogs are free next weekend. And lawn chairs. If you bring a lawn chair, you get a dog. Okay? Pretty good deal. Hey, bring a lawn chair, get a dog. Get to go home with it. And Arlene and Kathy are saying, hey, you know, it'd be nice to have some little doodad gifts for the kids. So if you got 10 bucks in your pocket or 5 bucks in your pocket, give it to Arlene. Arlene, there's Arlene. Where's Kathy? Kathy's way in the corner. She's hiding in the back there. Yeah, no Ray. Nice try. So, you know what, if you got 5 bucks or 2 bucks or 10 bucks, you can give to Kathy or Arlene, do that this morning, and then they're going to pick up some little, you know, doodad gifts for the kids, okay? So, that's next Sunday. And that's it. I'm done. Stan. Can I pray with you? All right. God, thank you. Thank you, God, that we can come here with other people that know you and love you, and are blessed by you, God. You are a good God, and this is about you, God. We want this all to be about you. We want your name lifted up and glorified. God, thank you for using us and keeping us and drawing us to you. You continually draw us to you, and I thank you, God, that you don't stop. You just continually keep drawing us to you. So, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, for working in Stan's life. Thank you, God, for the message that you have planted in him here this morning, that he will speak under your direction and authority and speak your truth, yeah. God. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All glory and honor and praise be to the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Hello. We are experiencing some technical difficulties. Check. You hear that at all? Or you want to give me that one? I don't think this is working. Amen. Yeah? Praise God. I'm glad to be here. I know you are too, and it's always great. Someone like Don prays for you. You know, he's my friend. I just, and so many, you know, we're friends. We're part of a group of friends, a family, part of belonging, knowing that someone will bring you water when you need it, and you don't even have to ask for it. That's cool, right? I love that. The last week, some of you know this, but you see, wonder why I got these two little kids. We didn't adopt, just so you know. We did not adopt these two little kids. But a week ago on Friday, I drove to Abbotsford, or flew to Abbotsford and picked them up and brought them here because my son, who's my second son, had an accident and he was mowing his lawn and he backed up and he cut off part of his big toe. So yeah, I know, ouch is a big thing. He couldn't take care of the kids. So we've been taking care of these a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old over the last week. And Crystal works during the day, so I've had a lot of time. I mean, I know I want a little sympathy here, so a little, you know, a little affirmation, you know, a little, yeah, aw, right? It's been awesome, to be honest with you. You know, you spend that kind of concerted time with those little kids, and they live in Abbotsford. We don't get to see them that much otherwise, but now you got them every day. You're bathing them, you're feeding them, you're spanking, you're not, you're taking care of them, right? And you're just learning what it's like to have that relationship again with little ones. And I've just been thinking for me about how that is, you know, in our walk with God, that the number one picture, the main picture we have in the scriptures is that he's our father, right? If you wonder who God is, he's your father. And he's like that. He just wants to hold you in your arms, in his arms. And he knows that sometimes we're running away. Like you saw, you know, he keeps running down. He was going to Ted every time, little Griffin. And every time he'd come back. And so sometimes God just has to hold us and he wants to know us. That's the coolest thing, right? He just wants to know me. And, you know, we do this thing. We always did it with my own kids when I raised them, the old 1, 2, 3, you know, and try not to do the 1, 2, and 3.5, 3 7/8. You know, you try not to do that because you got to be firm about this. But you know, you got to the point, their names are Judah and Griffey. And Judah, who's the oldest, I would say to Griffey, come here now. Or, okay, that's 1. And then Judah go, 2. He just can't wait to see his little brother get to 3, right? And that's not all that different from us too sometimes. We're really good at pointing out the bad. We're good at judging. We're good at seeing the flaws in other people. We don't always see them in ourselves. So this has been a real good lesson. And please pray for me tomorrow because I'm flying to Abbotsford again. I'm going to drop them off. Just, you know, that whole plane thing and that they're going to behave and that I won't have to drug them. Again, yeah. Anyways, it's just been a blast. I've really enjoyed it. And yeah, my son is doing much better. He's still got a ways to go, but he's going to go back to teaching a little bit. He's a teacher. He's going to start teaching a little bit next week as he can. And he's really just needing to get out and doing some stuff. So anyways, we are the family of God. We have so much to thank God for. I really, you know, not very long from now, and I think if you look what's going on in the world, it's going to be happening sooner than you think. One of these days, the Lord is going to return. We're going to hear a trumpet. It's going to come out of the blue. We're not going to expect it. We're going to be doing the things we're doing. We're probably going to be serving in the kitchen, and we're going to be mowing our lawns and taking care of our kids. And all of a sudden, there's going to be this huge trumpet blast, and half of the world are going to go, "What's that noise?" And the rest of us are going to go, "Oh, Jesus." Right? Thank you, Jesus. He's here. Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Right? What's that noise? The ones who say, "What's that noise?" they're in big trouble. Those of us who know Jesus, we know that he's going to come. He's going to be an announcement. There's going to be this proclamation. He's going to come with a shout. And it's going to be time for us to be with him forever and forever and forever. And for those of you, those of us who haven't had time to really get to know each other, or we just haven't had enough coffees, hey, don't worry. We got forever and ever and ever and ever to have coffees together. At the seat of the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if we're going to do that, we're going to be church, we're going to be family, we really need to get to know each other. We've been talking a lot in the last couple months about love. God's, and this is just so central to the Word of God. He's just really laid it on my heart, and others who have preached, like Pauline and others, have talked about the love of Jesus, how absolutely essential it is. If we're a church that doesn't love, we're not a church. We need to love. Everyone needs compassion. We just sang about that. Everyone needs mercy. Everyone needs it. So right now we're going to stand up and we're going to love each other. We need to keep doing this. So stand up. There's someone you don't know. Find them. Someone you haven't met before. Shake their hands. Love you, Jay.
Love you too, Pastor.
I really love you. Fellowship of believers, right? The fellowship of believers. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't get a hug. Love you. All right, I'm going to read, so why don't we find a place to sit? Thank you, Jesus. I know, we love... Hey, there'll be more visiting next Sunday at the picnic, so... And there you can visit all afternoon. All right, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 9. So if you have a Bible, I hope you do. If you don't, Don's got Bibles for you. Don's got Bibles. He's the Bible man. Matthew chapter 9, and I just spoke to a young lady named Jessica, and she said, I want to get baptized today. So, hey, we're not going to say no to that, right? Thank you, Lord, right? So later on in the service, I didn't think there's going to be any more baptisms. And pretty soon we're going to go to the river, you know, maybe at the end of the summer. But we are going to baptize Jessica. And you know why? We believe in the power of God. And that power is demonstrated in baptism as well. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Like I said last week, there's two promises that God gives you when you're baptized. Number one, he promises you that you're forgiven. Number two, he promises you that he'll fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to believe that. We're going to believe that together. When someone says they want to get baptized, we're going to do exactly what the Word of God says, and we're going to baptize. Amen? All right, I hope you've been properly welcomed, and you feel like you're part of this, and that you feel like you belong. Thank you, Jesus. Reading from Matthew chapter 9. Again, Matthew chapter 9. And I'm going to read, actually, you won't be on the screen. I'm going to read the first part of it. It's about healing. It's about the healing that Jesus was doing. And then it gets into the verse 9, which will be on the screen, I think. So Jesus stepped into a boat. Listen to God's word. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. And Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take up your mat, and go home." And the man got up and he went home. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Jesus said it and it actually happened. Wow. And it happened, I mean, over and over and over again. This is not just one time. The scripture is full of these examples. We're going to see this today, that he's the healer and that he just touches. When he says, "You're no longer blind," you're no longer blind. When he says, "Get up and walk," you can get up and walk. When Jesus heals, you are healed indeed. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority. He'd given such authority to men. And now we get to the part that I think is going to be on the screen. You needed that context to hear. Here's the part I want to focus on today. And then as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And he followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners." Yeah, amen. And then just jumping to the end of that chapter in verse 35, because I think this really ties in. "So Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field.'" You say amen? I think one of the reasons why the harvest is plentiful but the workers are few is because the workers need to be merciful. The real main criteria for going out into the harvest, the only obligation that is on each of us is that we need to have mercy. You need to be merciful to the people who are lost and sinners and the people who are struggling and the people who need Jesus. And the reason why there's a shortage of workers is because there's a shortage of people who are filled with the mercy of God. Like I said earlier, it's a lot easier for us to point our fingers or to think that we're doing a lot better than that guy or not wanting to associate with those folks. It's a lot easier to do that than to have our arms open to people and say, you know what, Jesus loves you and you can come to him anytime, in any way you can come to him. I want you to remember today that it's Matthew who wrote this. This is in the book of Matthew. So we can actually read this in a little different way, and I want to read it from Matthew's perspective, because this is really personal, and you're going to understand this as I sort of describe and teach about this in the next few minutes. This is a very intimate, a very personal passage, and Matthew is writing this, so we really could read this like this. As Jesus went from there, he saw me, Matthew, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told me. And so I got up and I followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at my house, many of my friends, the tax collectors and sinners, came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with Matthew? Why do they eat with me and with Matthew's friends?" And on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous. I have come to call sinners." You see where that gets a little more personal, right? Matthew, if he writes it from his perspective, he's that guy. Matthew is that guy, the tax collector, the sinner, the guy who really needed someone to save him. And Jesus did just that. I love, and we're going to focus on this, the fact that Jesus is the doctor. And that he says, you know, a doctor comes for people who are sick, not for people who are well. You know what you call, if a hospital is just full of well people, everyone's healthy and laying in their beds, and everyone's doing great, you know what, you don't call that a hospital, you know what you call that? An all-inclusive resort, that's what you call that. It's not a hospital, it is a resort. And Jesus says, I didn't come for that. You might be interested in that, but that's not what I came for. I came as a doctor. I came as a healer. I came as the great physician so that the person that I say to see will see, and the one who is lame will walk, and the one who is dead will be risen from the dead. That's what I came for, Jesus said. I came as a doctor, right? I came as a doctor. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, "He himself, Jesus, bore our sins on his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, you have been healed." Amen? By his wounds, you've been healed. You get it? He is a doctor. Let's think about that today. That Jesus is the great physician. He's the doctor. And that his entire purpose, and we see this, when Jesus was walking around for those 3 years, what did he do? He just touched people. He healed them. We read that he had compassion on all of them and that everyone that he touched was healed, everyone. But whatever their problem was, whatever their malady was, he touched them and he healed them because Jesus is a doctor. He's a doctor. And here's the question that I think begs to be asked. So bear with me today. You know, the question is, if that's really who Jesus is, that he's this surgeon, he's this doctor, then the question really is, well, what should the church look like? And the answer to that question is, the church should look a whole lot like a hospital. That's what the church should be looking like. The church should not be looking like an all-inclusive resort. I think there are some churches that are looking like that. You know, you go to church and you just want to lay back and someone serve me something and, you know, just entertain me and I want some good food here and I want to be by the beach, I want the best seats. That's not really, even though that might be fun for us, it's really not the model that I think the New Testament gives for us. The church should be much more like a hospital than like a resort, but we've been building resorts. And here's the reason why, because we're not really all that interested in being in a hospital. In the hospital, there are sick people. There are some sick, stinky people in hospitals, and we don't even want to go visit them, let alone live there. And yet, really, Jesus says that's what needs to happen, is my house needs to be a place where sick people, where sinners and tax collectors and people who are broken and wounded, where they're welcomed and where they're part of what's going on. So, you know, on the one hand, church a lot of times is like a resort. On the other hand, sometimes church is like a museum. Some churches, I think, are more like museums. Bear with me here. More like museums than they are like hospitals. I mean, they've been there for hundreds of years, and they're architectural wonders, and there's amazing stained glass and pipe organs, and I love all that stuff. I do. I really do. And there's art. Oh, my goodness. Renaissance art that's just worth millions and millions of dollars, and that's awesome, but it's not a hospital. It's not where sick people congregate, right? It's just, it's a history. The church sometimes has a rich history, and it's like a museum. And people go through these churches. Maybe you've been in Europe. And you go in these churches, and you go, look at that statue, and look at that stained glass window, and look at this. And that's all great, but I'm not sure it's what Jesus intended for the church to be. You know, in fact, I'm pretty sure it isn't. Because if he is, if we're going to believe this today, that Jesus is a doctor, then we need to understand we're part of this healing process. It's all about healing. It's all about dealing with people who are wounded. It's about helping people who are broken. It's about feeding people who are hungry. True religion, what does James say? Is caring for widows and orphans and keeping yourself from being polluted by the world. Amen? Yeah? That's what it is. That's true religion. But you know, the hard part of that is that it means that we got to be part of a hospital, and we don't want to be part of a hospital. I'll be honest with you that there have been different times over the years where people have come to me and have said, I don't want to be around those people anymore. I can't go to your church. So I said, well, it's not my church. This is Jesus' church. So, I need to go to a normal church. I can't go. I can't be around these people. You know, these people, they're asking for toonies, and they're eating all our cookies, and they're only coming here for the cookies and the coffee, and some of them smell. I mean, some of them really smell. I sat by one. Someone actually told me that. I sat by someone one day, and I just can't keep coming here. A couple years ago, don't want to scare you, but a couple years ago, there was a bed bug in this building on a chair. And someone said, I'm never coming back here again. And all I have to say to that is, if we can't stand up against a bed bug, honestly, how good are we going to do? How good are we going to do when someone comes with a sword and says, do you love Jesus? How are we going to stand up against that if we can't take on a bed bug? All right? So here's the reality. This is a hospital. We are, and we are all part of the healing process. And I love that model. I want to explore that with you. Again, back on the main teaching, Jesus is the physician. Jesus is the one who heals. But he equips Joyce and Jay and Crystal and Kimberly and me. He equips us to be healers. And listen, wouldn't it be amazing if we, let's explore that model, that just like in a hospital, we need an emergency room. Just like in a hospital, we need a maternity room for people like Jessica or Shauna, who are brand new Christians. So they're being born into Christ, and they're being birthed, and they're being nurtured. We need a maternity room, and some people to operate the maternity room. We need a surgery room, because some people have abscesses and tumors that need, maybe they're spiritual or maybe they're real. They need to be healed. We agree? People get cancer. People have problems. They need surgery. We need those kinds of healing people, people with those gifts of the Holy Spirit, to bring healing to people who have those physical or internal spiritual growths. Right? We need surgeons. We need surgeons. We need, in our hospital, therapists who can help people recover. Amen? Because people are, you can clap. There are people in recovery for all kinds of reasons. Just like someone might have a stroke and they need physical therapists, they need someone to walk alongside of them, right? That's what the church should look like. And some of you have those gifts. Some of you are using those gifts, and I just praise God for that. But we all need to do it. So really the reality is you're all healers. Because that's the model the church should be. You might fit better in a maternity ward. You might fit better as a surgeon. You might fit better as a recovery therapist. You might fit better dealing with emergency people in crisis situations. Because there's always that, right? People, their lives all of a sudden blew up. But that's what the church ought to look like. And we have different kinds of healing gifts. You can focus on something different than me, but we all work together. And when we do that, when we agree to walk alongside of people who just need Jesus, and just, you know what, just to love them. Honestly, isn't that all that Jesus said to do? He didn't say fix them. He didn't say, you got to fix everybody and make sure everyone's just living just right and they're all, you know, coloring between the lines. He didn't say that. What he said is just journey with them and love them. Mercy, mercy. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And I haven't come for the righteous. So if you're righteous here, and he means self-righteous, if you're just doing great and you don't need anybody, you don't need God, you don't need any help, you don't need a doctor, you're in the wrong place. Right? I don't know where you belong, but I'll just tell you that I need Jesus, and I need him every single day, and even though I am saved by the grace of God and by the blood of the Lamb, I still need to go to the doctor once in a while on a regular basis, right? Amen? So the point I'm trying to make here is that you are doctors too. Jesus has transferred that ministry that he did onto all of us. He said, this is what the church ought to be like. My church needs to be a healing body. My church needs to reach out. And don't build museums, because I didn't tell you to do that. And don't build resorts, entertaining everybody. That's not what I asked you to do. I just asked you to love people and to see where their needs are. Where are their wounds? Remember last time, a couple weeks ago when I preached, talked about the Good Samaritan? He bound up the wounds, and this is a model again, right? He gave it all. He laid it down. He put his Visa card down, and he took care of that person. That Samaritan took care of that person who had been beaten up. Boy, I tell you, the water's flowing today. Thanks. Are we following this? You get that? Okay, but here's the problem. And here's where we're going to get a little more personal. The problem is that none of us want to go and see a doctor. I don't want to go see the doctor. I don't think in my whole life there's ever been a time when I said, oh, good, it's Tuesday. I get to go to my doctor. Hey, it's my annual physical. Yahoo! I don't know about you guys. I don't look forward to that. That guy scares me when he snaps that leather or that latex glove. It's not leather. It feels like leather. That guy scares me when he says, why don't you just scoot up onto the table? And why do they keep saying scoot up on the table? Does your guy say that too? I hate that. Like, how do you scoot up on a table? Why don't you just scoot up on the table? Well, why don't you just not tell me what to do? Because I don't feel like scooting right now. Right? We don't like to go to the doctor. We certainly don't want to go to hospitals, right? And this is the issue. Here's the problem is we stay away from, I know some people who stay away from doctors and hospitals. They never go. And we do the same thing with Jesus. He wants to have this intimate, incredibly personal relationship with us. But here's what most of us do. We do this. Maybe another time, Jesus, but I just don't touch me. I don't want you to have any, no. And he says, you know, like a doctor, if you have a good doctor, like if you're a doctor, let me tell you this in case you don't know this. If you're going to a doctor who never touches you, you should go to a different doctor. That's just not a good doctor. You have a doctor, he should be touching you, or she should be touching you. She should be, or he should be examining you and looking at you and checking your ears. Oh my goodness, there's stuff there. Right? If you're going to a doctor who's not checking you that way, and they're standing back there and they're going, you know, I think you look okay today. Why don't you come back next year? And they don't want to do any tests, and they don't tell you to scoot on the table, or they don't put a glove on. You're going to the wrong doctor, right? We don't want to do that. I'd like that someday. I don't want my doctor to touch me. But your doctor needs to know you that intimately, and Jesus is the same. He really wants to know you that intimately. He knows, listen, just listen. He knows who you really are. Jesus, Dr. Jesus, he knows what's really going on in your heart, right? He knows. He knows you. He loves you, by. He does. You hear me? Yeah, he loves you. He wants to do that. He just wants to touch you. But, you know, sometimes we just go, well, you know, we don't want to be touched. I just want my own little space. I don't want you to know me. He said, well, I already know you. I know exactly who you are. I know what's going on in your heart. I know your biggest fears. I know the hardest things in your life. I know what you're praying for. There isn't anything that the physician doesn't know about you. And the hardest thing, but the most logical thing for us to do is to give in. Everything about us, everything about our human nature says, don't do that. No, just stay away. Just stay away. But what we really ought to do, and here's the key. This is the key to the Christian life. This is the key to the relationship, is when you surrender. Yeah. When you just say, okay, I'm yours. I'm going to get up on the table. I don't want to, but I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. Maybe you're wondering about that today. Jessica, maybe you're wondering about getting in the water and what that means, you know. It really does. It means just this. It means here's Jesus, and he's your Jesus. He's your doctor, and he's going to help you. You're going into treatment tomorrow, Thursday. He just says, Jessica, I love you, and I'm here because you need a new start. I'm here because I'm all about new life. Because I'm the only hope you really got, and I am your doctor. And I'm your Savior, but you need to let me remove the abscess. And you need to let me come in. I won't come in. I won't come in unless you let me come in. Unless you ask me to come in. That's what it's about. Yeah, but there's great hope. The gospel, let me tell you this, maybe there's someone here today and you're wondering, what is the gospel? What is this all about? The gospel is a love story. At its very essence, the gospel is a love story about a bridegroom who saves his bride. It's a love story about a bride who is terminally ill, a bride who is going to die, and she was dying. Her heart was giving out. Her heart was growing weaker and weaker, and there was a sentence of death over the bride. It's a love story about a bridegroom who stood up one day and he said, I will give my life for my bride. I'll even give my heart for my bride so that she can live. It's a love story where the bridegroom says, I will give my blood so that it can flow through you. I will die so that you can live. Isn't that something? Amen. Isn't that something? Amen. Isn't that something? Amen. Wow. He loves you. He loves me. He loves you. He loves us so much. He gave his heart. He gave his blood. He gave it all for us so that we could live. We had no hope otherwise. That's the love story. That's the love story. But what needs to happen, and this is all we got to do, is just give up. You know, when he comes and he says, I'm gonna touch you, that we receive it. We just receive it. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to end on this note, because I think you got to hear this. Sometimes we hear things that aren't true. And I've been hearing this a lot, and this is not true. It's only, partial truths are still lies. And I was talking to a pastor not too long ago, and he said, yeah, there's been lots of good things. I'm praying with lots of people. They're becoming Christians, and I keep telling them that God loves them. God loves them just the way they are and right where they are, too. And I said, I just keep telling them that God loves you, and he loves you right where you are. And then you don't need to change. Nothing has to change in you because God loves you, and he loves you just where you are, just where you are. And I want to tell you today, that's a lie. The part about God loving you is not a lie. God loves you. He'll never stop loving you. But God doesn't love you where you are. And we got to stop telling people that. I know people want to hear that, and people maybe will pray then and go, okay, well then, if he's going to love me just where I am and nothing needs to change, then sure, I'll invite him into my heart. Listen, God loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you where you are, right? He doesn't want to leave you where you are. He doesn't want to leave you in your addiction or in your sickness or in your fighting marriage or in any of that stuff that we struggle with. God does not love you where you are. We should stop this. This is not true. Jesus didn't live that way. He didn't just say, well, you're blind and I love you blind. That's good. And, you know, you are a cripple. Boy, I love you as a cripple. Man, that's not the Jesus of the Scripture. The Jesus of the Scripture says, rise up and walk. I love you so much that I'm not going to leave you blind. I'm not going to leave you hungry. I'm not going to leave you in that sorry state that you're in. Praise God? All right, so I need to make that clear. I don't want to be a part of a church where we're a hospital, but we never try to bring healing to people. We just love everybody where they are. What good does that do? I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right. So here's the ending then. And it's Jesus' ending. He says, so just come to me. All you need to do is let me reach out and touch you. And I will touch you wherever you are. And I will save you from where you are to where you need to be. Just allow the doctor, allow Jesus to put his hands on you today. And if I could be so bold, I'm going to make a statement here that I think is true for all of us, that everyone here, you know, you really, if you really are honest, and if you really search your heart, you know that God has touched you. I don't think you'd be here otherwise. And maybe it's just been a little touch. It's just been, you thought, you felt his hand on your shoulder, and you're not really sure. But you know, if you really search your heart, you know that God has touched you sometime in your life, or maybe today. For me, it happens in worship. It happens when I pick up, maybe you've picked up your Bible and you've read it, and you go, man, that just sounds like he's talking to me. That's him touching you. That is. Worship does that, the Word of God. Maybe just, I've had people say to me after preaching, I said, man, you were saying things. Who's been talking about me, right? That's the Holy Spirit, okay? I don't have any other, you know, in on your life. But that is God touching you. When you hear a message, when you go, this is for me. This is God speaking to me right now. That's God touching you. So all I'm saying is that he's touched you already. He's already had his hand on your shoulder. He's already cared for you. And he just wants to hold you more in his arms. Amen? All right, we're going to pray. And then, I don't know what we're going to do. Let's pray. Start with that. Lord God, I just thank you that you are such an amazing God. You're the great physician. Thank you, Jesus, that you will not leave us in the sorry state that you find us in. That you want to save us, even from ourselves and our brokenness and the wounds in our lives, that you know everything about us, you even know our past, you know the hard things we went through when we were kids. None of this is a surprise. That you came for those who are sick, and we are. We are in need of you. Thank you, God. just worship you today. And Lord, there's only one thing that we desire today, and that is to be touched by you. And that we are prepared today to pull our hands back and to stop stopping you, to allow you to reach your hands out to touch us. So today, God, I just pray that you will heal us, that you will touch us, that you will include us, that you will bind up the brokenhearted. Some of us here today, I see the tears in some eyes. Some of us are brokenhearted. But this is a day of great hope. Some of us are heading off to treatment. This is a day of great hope because of Jesus. Some of us are battling at home with our wives or our husbands or with our children. But this is a day of great hope. Thank you, God. We just receive you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've asked a few people who are going to be praying for some of us today just to come forward. So those of you who have asked, would you come and just come right now? I know Tim and Kathy and Crystal and Gertie. And I want half of you on this side and half of you on this side. And this is what we're going to do. There we go. Karen, would you come up here too, please? And Joyce, would you come up here as well? So, it's time to just come. It's time to come. And we're going to play a little bit of music. This isn't going to take a real long time, but we want to just bless you. So, AJ, just give me 1 minute, okay, buddy? Thanks. So, I'm going to just walk it out for you to make it real simple. You're going to walk this way, and then you're going to walk either to the right or to the left, and they're going to just pray a prayer blessing for you, or maybe there'll be something else that God prods them to do through the Holy Spirit. But those of us who decide to come forward, one thing's going to happen for sure, and that is that Jesus is going to touch you. You're going to be reminded that he loves you. And whatever it is that's weighing heavy on your heart, you're going to be able to leave it at the cross. So we're going to do this. It's going to take a few minutes. And then we're going to baptize Jessica. We're going to all gather around the blue tub. Jessica, that's God's invitation to you saying, oh, come to me. You who are weary and heavy burden, come to me and I will give you rest. I want to just play that music a little louder, Jeff. And if you don't want to come, just sit. That's okay. But I encourage you to come. Let's pray and let's just receive this from Jesus today. I'll take it. Thank you.
Make straight his path in the wilderness. Let his light shine. Let his light shine in the darkness. Let your Let your rain fall in this desert. For I hear the voice of one crying. I hear the voice.